Matthew 26, verse 52 says, "Then Jesus said to him, put up again your sword into its place, for all they that take the sword shall perish with the sword."
Hello, and welcome to the show, Colourful Conversations with Clergyman Pete and Businessman Mark. This week, we ask the question, why are mass killings acceptable today? Well, that's a controversial question, but is it? In fact, if we look at the news recently, there have been yet more mass killings again in America and in the United Kingdom and many places throughout the world.
Yeah.
Is there any way in which people can actually get away from such atrocities? One example. Now, a man who survived a mass shooting in Las Vegas last year, sadly, was among those killed in the recent attack in California. Telemachus Orfanos, 27, died alongside 11 others when a man opened fire at the Borderline Bar and Grill in Thousand Island Oaks, northwest of Los Angeles. Clearly, there is no escape. More and more of these atrocities keep occurring. It's almost as though every time we switch on the news, it's just there and it washes over us. Is America addressing it? Is the United Kingdom addressing it? Another killing, another loss of life. Yet another. Another knife takes someone's life. Another gun takes someone's son. Another bomb takes someone's mum. Another resistor takes someone's sister. Another slaughter takes someone's daughter. Another rile takes someone's child. Another dozen takes someone's cousin. Another crime takes someone in their prime. Just one after another and another and another. Clergyman Pete, we asked a controversial question, but are we really a society that is accepting such killings? Or maybe there's something else. What can be done?
Well, The use of the word accepting, why is it so acceptable in the title of this episode, was to highlight the fact, I mean, you know this because you were part of selecting the title, but I'm telling the listener, okay, the reason for choosing that was to get across the idea that we're not shocked by it anymore. It moves on in the news cycle. Something else takes its place too quickly.
Exactly.
It seems. And that's what the what I think is an issue. I mean, mass killings have always happened, and I guess they always will. If you look at the UK, you can look through history and see there have been mass killings going on since Britain has been in existence. There's one I have listed here. I was just looking back through history. In 61 AD, the Roman suppression of the Druid religion resulted in a mass killing on Anglesey. You know, that they've been going on for all that time. One of the things that we've seen, though, that's different is we have individuals conducting mass killings, and they're able to do it, I guess, more easily because of guns, yes, but also because of cars and vans, which can easily be used for mass killings, as we've found recently. On the 3rd of June on London Bridge, of course, someone drove a vehicle in and then got out and used a knife as well. So
that's right.
And bombs, of course, make it extremely easy to kill a lot of people. So this made them worse, and yet we're less shocked by it, it seems. We can find out more easily than back in the day of the Druids of what's going on. We can see pictures and images, and yet we don't seem shocked. So there's something going on with us collectively, at a spiritual level. Why are we not shocked anymore?
Well, and some people think that there is a correlation between mental illness and mental health and some of these atrocities. Now, many people have tried to sort of get to the real root cause of why these things are happening. In some cases, it's a lone gunman. In some cases, it's a group of people that are actually doing that. Political motivations is something we perhaps understand, but what we perhaps don't understand is why people are motivated as an individual, where maybe that they have taken umbrage with an individual or a group. We've seen former pupils, for example, at schools have perhaps some bad experiences and yet can't shake it off and for some reason have decided to take their revenge. And that, of course, has caused many people to lose their lives or at least certainly to suffer through serious injury. So maybe there is something around the mental illness side, but how on earth you can actually stop that and identify it is a different matter. Politically motivated individuals are usually followed by government sources. We typically tend to see a piece of news and then some reveal by the FBI is that they've been following them for several years. Quite how they managed to not stop them in the end committing the atrocity is a different matter. But let's come back to the mental illness. Is there something about our society today that is now making people perhaps victims in some ways? Maybe there's something that we're not doing. We're not a caring society. Is there something around that?
Yes. There is. If we talk about caring, of course, we do care for each other. But it's more that we can care for people who we know. In fact, there was a recent survey conducted by means of a public interview, just asking people which would they choose to rescue if someone was drowning in the river. And this was a question put to people in street interviews, and they were asked the question and given it a choice of two, right? Was if a stranger, so a human being, but a stranger was drowning in the river, or their pet dog. It wasn't universal, but almost all people chose the dog.
Wow.
And that's, I think, the state that we're at. I mean, I'm not that I'm against people being fond of their pets, but I think that points at the heart of it, that we've confused love for sort of like familial affection, people that we know, which is really not love, it's sentimentality. So we don't want the dog to die because we have a sentimental affection for it. We don't have that core understanding that human life is valuable, and that's been lost. So, as I say, an element of it is to do with us being caring and losing that sense of caring for people we don't know. But behind that, and I guess you might expect me to say this as a Christian clergyman, a Christian pastor, but I do think that this is a heart matter, a spiritual matter, that people need a change of heart. People have lost that understanding that comes from the Christian description of who humans are. Humans are people endowed with life and soul and spirit by the Creator God, and so are of supreme value. You can't take life. So one life is too many. If lots of lives are taken, it's a tragedy. Especially if they're human, you know.
Well,
human life should be valued, and valued to the extent. And here's where we've, as a society, slipped away from the importance, the value of life. There's been a deception. What in spiritual terms is called Satan, the deceiver. So the deception has worked like this. We believe we're becoming more caring when we're becoming less caring. Sentimentality has replaced love, as I was just saying. And that's a trend in society. Of course, that's not everyone. That's a trend that I've observed in society. And it can be shown through various surveys, including the rather scientific one that I mentioned, but more scientific ones show the same thing. What used to be a feature of Christian society, so West, with its Christian culture, that even strangers were cared for, value for human life was put above all else, has replaced by this more tribal mentality. You care for those, you love those who are like you or part of your family or your in-group. So there's been a spiritual change, and I think when you lose that understanding of the importance of human life, because it comes from God, because whether you believe in God or not, it's you can still say there's value to human life. God is the best explanation for that value. Then when you start to lose that, then you start to lose control. And what happened was, I think a feature of this is something that seems the opposite. It seems like you're valuing life, but you're not. And that is the death penalty. When you remove the death penalty for murder, or and certainly for mass murder, when you remove the death penalty, you suddenly, you haven't got balance, have you? It's not life for life anymore. You're not taking someone's life for killing for killing people. You remove the value of the victim who died. When people say they're pro-life, meaning they're against abortion, really they're saying they're pro-innocent life. You know, and so you could, if you're going to be truly pro-life, you should be for the death penalty, because that shows the true value of life. So I think that was what I'm trying to say, is that that was a symptom of our moving towards sentimentality. Oh, I don't want to be the one, or no one should be the one to have to pull the lever, or however the execution occurs. We've lost the value of human life.
Well, now, I know that obviously we don't have that death penalty in the United Kingdom. However, let's turn to the United States. Now, not all of the states in America do have that particular policy. There have been some changes. However, when we talk about the root cause to why killings actually occur, now, maybe this might perhaps indicate something. Now, according to the website Gun Violence Archive, more than 12,000 people have been killed by firearms in the US so far this year. Is there a clue there? Guns. Yes. Now, ironically, including this, is there are 3,000 people under the age of 18. What's even more remarkable is that number does not include an annual estimate of over 22,000 suicides as a result of firearms. Now, in that little bit of commentary, again, I reference the one simple clue, guns. Is there a way that any way in which America can come to terms with how firearms correlate to giving people access to weapons that are going to kill? And in the wrong hands, these killings, these mass killings, are going to just simply continue. So whilst I understand that this is a very controversial subject, let's not get away from the fact that the statistics clearly show that by still having firearms available, and readily available, very easy, particularly to people who are under the age of 18, as the statistics show, what can America do? Where are they at this moment in time, and what needs to be done going forward?
Well, I don't want to too easily dismiss the lack of the death penalty, because although in most states in the US there is the death penalty, it's rather theoretical. In that what happens is people, in fact, spend many, many years on death row. They don't, you know, it's the death penalty is not a certainty, is not seen as the threat it was. But of course, I'm not talking about it being particularly. The threat of the death penalty stops it. It's the move away from seeing it as the just punishment for someone who murders, which has happened in the US. Hence, the move away from the death penalty in some states, and all the barriers put in the way, such that this has been put forward by legislators in some US states of limiting the time you can stay on death row waiting to see if you're actually going to get the death penalty to 1 year, and then either, you know, you've got to make a decision then, either you're set free or it happens. So I think that is part of the society in the US. They're just not quite as bad as us in that movie, in that accepting of the sentimentality, because of their greater acceptance of the biblical truth about human value. But talking about guns being a problem. Yeah, the availability of guns in the US is an issue. I can't see it as a root cause. What I see it is, it can sometimes make the mass killing more effective, so you get a higher number. But you could drive your car into people. You can easily kill people if you have that sort of inclination.
Mm. I mean, we've seen also that politically motivated individuals have been sending bombs to ex-presidents like Barack Obama, his ex-Secretary of State Hillary Clinton, and even actor Robert De Niro, simply because of their political bias. And so we've got a society that clearly is eroding. I mean, I want to come on to the United Kingdom as well. And this idea of acceptance is an interesting one, because in the United Kingdom, one of the things that's been identified is the fact that gangland warfare, is something which is actually fueling a youth culture where knife crime in particular is on the significant rise. Now, this is a worrying trend for our listeners, our international listeners, as the trend is such as that we've seen many incidents occur, dozens of incidents happen over the last few months. But what's probably more worrying is the number of deaths. So I think there's been between 5 and 6 deaths that have actually occurred in recent times, where youths, certainly either in their teens or their early 20s, have been guilty of using knife crime, partly because it's almost like that badge of honor, the sense that you have the knife, you have the authority, you have the ability to attack your opponents. And it's interesting that they've been happening within gangs. So whilst the public, general public, have on occasions been victims, it's been around gangs. So that's something, again, it's not unusual, but it's interesting that it's on the rise. What do you think is causing that as a problem? Is that an economic problem? Is it just that they feel as though they've got no hope? They have to be aligned to a gang to have any kind of identity?
Gangs can be a sort of replacement for family and community, and the loss of a sense of community in many parts of Britain has certainly not helped people's attachment to gangs. And you see gangs develop in big cities where you've lost that sense of the local community. Sometimes because there's not the draw to be part of a gang, but also because if you're in a community where everyone knows each other, you're going to get a clip round the ear from your parents if you go and misbehaving with the lads. You know, there's that knowing each other, watching out for each other, that's been lost. And I do think that the church can be at the heart of rebuilding this, rebuilding community. It got to change, though, in the way that it operates. Be stronger. Point out sin when it's seen. You know, be prepared to point out bad behaviour as well as celebrating good behaviour. You know, the church needs to be more outspoken as well as welcoming. Otherwise, it's going to be seen as a bit wet, and it's not going to be part of the solution. But
yes,
inviting people to join together in community. Now, communities form naturally, of course, but you can help them to grow. Help them to grow by opening up places of worship and making them to more into centres for the community. By providing food, meals, getting people together, drawing them together, so that people know each other better. And that is happening in churches across the country. It remains to be seen over the next 10 to 20 years, but we're hoping it happens sooner. The leaching away, though, of people from churches, the loss of sense of community that's gone with that, it might take that long to reverse. But that's, I believe, is at the heart of it, and that people need to have these sort of violent gangs to have a sense of love and belonging is extremely sad. And the rivalry between them, not just between, sometimes it's assumed it's male gangs, but the female gangs can be just as violent, I'm told. So the rivalry between them, because they're not a family structure, they're a competitive structure. At its heart, there's a rivalry, almost like a turf war between different gangs that we see. And you can see to the extent that in Britain, quite often, the gangs are named after their postcode.
Yes, that is correct.
Mm. Yes. So yes, I think that is part of the issue. But I think what we can see is, under the surface, We've lost our sense of community. So we've lost care for each other, and we've lost belief in God. And what takes its place is a sentimentality, hedonism, and then because there's no sense of purpose, you leech away your sense of right and wrong, then any rivalries can be settled with killing. Now, over the years, we've done away with that. You know, killing to settle disputes used to be common only 200 years ago, 150 years ago. In the United States, there was a dispute between two of the founders, you know, two of the people who wrote the Constitution, and it was settled with a duel in which one of them was shot and killed. You know, it used to be the case that these sort of things happened, and we'd moved away from it, and it's come back because we've been deceived into thinking that there is no God, that what we feel about people is more important than the facts. As shown by the fact that people were prepared to save their dog rather than a human being. Mm.
Well, listeners, what do you think? I mean, do you think that we've reached a society where there is an acceptance over mass killings? Well, obviously, it was a controversial question, but I'm sure that you've got lots to say on this subject. So why not log on to markofpete.com and let us know your thoughts. We'd love to hear from you. Have you had a family member who's been a victim? Do you know people who are members of gangs? And perhaps there's something that you think that can be done to solve the problem. Well, thanks for joining the show, and join us again next time for Colourful Conversations with Clergyman Pete and Businessman Mark.
Introducing WonderSuite from Bluehost.com, the tool that makes WordPress wonderful for everyone. Website creation is hard, but now with Bluehost, you can answer a few simple questions about your business and goals, and the WonderSuite tools will automatically lay out your WordPress website or store in minutes. Seriously. From there, you can customize your design, pick your brand colors, and add blocks. No custom theme or coding required. You'll get content suggestions that you can keep or revise. And with Yoast SEO built in, we automatically help you get found in search engines. From step-by-step guidance to suggested plugins to an AI-powered help bot, our built-in tools make WordPress wonderful for everyone. Whether you're a beginner or a pro, you can join over 2 million Bluehost users. Go to bluehost.com/wondersuite. That's bluehost.com/wondersuite.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.